Children may be dismissed for Kids Connect, Children's Church, if you haven't already gone down. We do that right after worship, so if you have children, they may be dismissed at this time. We did a series for about 4 or 5 weeks on what man can't do, God can do. All things are possible through God. And Oleg did a great job of finishing that up. And so we're going to start a new series, and it's called Freedom. And it's called Freedom to, we have a title on that? Freedom to be Servants. You know, it's kind of one of those titles like, wait a minute, freedom? Isn't freedom mean I can just do what I want? And you know, it's kind of like it's I can make the decisions. And everybody's saying, wait, freedom to be servants? Isn't that kind of like, kind of backwards or not, you know, oxymoron? It's like, what does that really mean? But I tell you, when you get into the Word, I'm going to talk about, give you kind of, we're going to take a time of just learning, going back to basics of what freedom is in Jesus Christ. And then we're going to spend some weeks on just being free to do what God's called us to do. And so we're going to take our first scripture reading out of John chapter 8, and it should be up on the screen. And John chapter 8, verse 30 should be there. So Jesus said let's start with verse 30, if you can. And he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Next. Okay, can't read that. They answered him, we are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. Hallelujah. A lot of scripture, a lot of words, and we're going to dive into that this morning because the Lord really wants to help us to be free in Jesus. And so for many of us, freedom has become synonymous with personal independence. You know, I'm free so I can do what I want to do. The ability to make your own decisions, choose your own path in life, do whatever we want, whenever we want to. That's kind of what the world has deemed freedom. And so, but that's not what the Bible talks about freedom. That freedom was displayed in the Garden of Eden with the serpent. You know, the serpent came to Eve and gave that same lie. Hey, you can have freedom if you eat this fruit. Freedom is, if you eat this fruit, you'll know everything that God knows, and you'll have freedom because you're able to make a choice. You're able to choose. Who said you couldn't eat that fruit? You know, that's the lie of the enemy, and that's the same lie that the enemy is giving us today. You have the right. I always say this. Jesus had all the rights, and Jesus only exercised one right, and that was to go to the cross. Think about it. Jesus had one right. Jesus had all the rights, and he exercised one, to be in obedience to the Father, to do his will. So Jesus is talking about, Jesus' promise to us was in Luke 4:18, he says, when Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah, he said he had come to the earth to proclaim freedom. Proclaim freedom. Max, can you bring up, I didn't put that down, can you bring up Luke 4:18, and I think it's 19 and 20? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim what? Liberty, which is freedom, to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at what? Liberty, freedom, to those who are oppressed. So God's will, God, Jesus came to set us free, to bring us out of bondage, to bring us into liberty, to set the captives free. So Jesus revealed himself, and when he revealed himself, he says, hey man, I've come to give you freedom. And so Jesus was not setting us free to do whatever we wanted. He was freeing us to do what we ought to do. He was liberating us from the bondage of sin, the law, and eternal death. See, Jesus came for two reasons. He came to free us from the sins. He came to free us from the law. And he came to free us from eternal death. So put all those into one. And the second reason he came so that we could have a relationship with the Father. Those are the two reasons why. That's what freedom is all about. Freedom is getting us back to know that we are not in bondage to sin. We're not in bondage to the law. We're not trying to be good enough for God to love us. Jesus took care of that at the cross. And so now we have this relationship with the Father. We can have this relationship with him. And that's the freedom that I want to speak about today. That our relationship is to walk in relationship with God, which was broken. To be the kind of people he created us to be. The ability to obey God and choose his will for our lives. See, before Jesus died on the cross, God's people lived under a detailed system of the law. In the Old Testament, it was the law. If you do good, you'll get good. If you do bad, you're punished. And that's what Israel had signed up for, the law. No, God, we can do this on our own. I say, okay, God said, okay, here's the law. But God knew he was going to send his son to take us out of that law. And that's what Jesus did. He came to free us. The law was powerless to grant salvation or produce true freedom. Nevertheless, everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus who was coming to liberate us, to free us from the sin of death, from our sins, from the bondage of the law. Isn't that awesome? That's why he came. Through his death, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He was perfect, setting believers free from the law of sin and death. And that is really the basics. We're going back to basics. If we are a believer in Jesus, we have freedom in Christ, and it's based on Jesus took it at the cross. We're not trying to earn a relationship with Jesus. We're not trying to earn points for Jesus to love us. For God so loved, we said it this morning, for God so loved the world. He loved us even in our sin. And he brought Jesus to us to free us of sin and death so that we could have eternal life with Jesus in heaven. A verse, Romans 8:2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Hallelujah. That has got to excite you to know that Jesus took care of sin and eternal death on that cross. So freedom starts in verse 30. Let's go back to verse 30. Freedom starts. The first point is we need to believe. We need to believe. But we're going to explain what that belief is. In verse 30, it says, "As he was saying these things, many believed in him." And then many believed in him really means on him or into him. They stood on Jesus. They trusted him. The phrase indicates a deep commitment of the heart to Jesus. That's what that word believe means. But then when we go to verse 30, 31, it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him," and there's a different meaning. That meaning says Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, they had not yet trusted him. They just, "I believe what you're saying," but they haven't trusted him in faith. And so this is where the scripture is going. The first thing we have to do in the knowing the freedom of Jesus is that do you believe and do you believe and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? And we know through scripture that some of the Jews, they said, "Well, we believe." And then when Jesus started really teaching them, it says that they walked away. See, now, you got to ask yourself, do I believe with the faith and trust to walk with Jesus? Because it is a faith walk. We are saved by grace through faith. And so the first thing that I want to help us understand and freedom is, do you believe, but do you believe and trust Jesus? Are you going to walk with him and allow him to be your Lord and Savior of your life? See, there's a lot of people, you know, I always get this question. I always get this question. You know, someone said that they believed in Jesus, and but I watched their life, and they don't seem to be lining up with Jesus. Are they a Christian? They ask me. And I look around, and I go, I'm not Jesus. I don't know. And so you have to ask yourself, because it's the fruit of walking with Jesus. Do you believe, not just believe, but do you walk it out in trust and in faith with Jesus? And people ask me that question all the time. And I tell people, I'm going to be honest. There are some people that come to church. There are some people that say, I believe what Pastor speaks. I believe, but they don't trust him as their Lord and Savior. I know those are hard words to receive. But through the scripture, we've noticed that many Jews walked away. Many people walked away because they couldn't put their true faith in Christ. And so, you know, this morning, true freedom is believing and then taking the next step. Do you walk and trust him? Very important in your walk with God. It is these people that Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, we take that scripture, what we do is we quote a lot of scripture as believers. We like to walk up to people and say, hey, you know, this is what the Bible says. I just want to let you know that, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, that's all we say. Hey, if you know the truth will set you free, Ben. And then we leave Ben out there like, I think I know the truth. What is the truth? And am I really understanding the truth? And we as believers, we love to quote scripture, especially if you've been a believer a long time. You read the Bible. And man, I grew up in church. You know my story. And I tell you, I got people that could quote scripture after scripture. But then I walk away, I'm going, well, how does that scripture help me? Because we can quote a lot of scripture, but we don't quote the full scripture, because that full scripture says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. Wow, that makes a big difference. I can't walk up to someone and say, hey, Debbie, you know, the truth is going to set you free. Oh, yeah. What? What do you mean you don't understand that? The truth. Come on, church, the truth. This is the truth. It's going to set you free. But my Bible says, and your Bible says, if you continue in my word. So the second point of freedom is this word, if. If. And that word really is invitation. God is inviting you to get into his word. God is inviting you to have a relationship with him. See, we just can't quote the scripture and say, if you have the truth will set you free. He says, if you abide in my word, and I really want to help us understand, God, Jesus, is inviting you into his word. Jesus is inviting you into his life. Jesus is inviting you to walk with him. Jesus is inviting you to have a relationship with him, because the truth is not going to set you free unless you are with the person who is freedom. Jesus. Jesus holds the key to the bondages. Jesus holds the key to the jail. Jesus holds the key to your healing. Jesus holds the key to your deliverance. Jesus holds the key to your protection. Jesus holds the key. And what Jesus did on the cross, he gave us an invitation. If I'm inviting you to have a relationship with me, and when you have this relationship with me, the truth, who I am, because of John 1, it says he is the fullness of grace and truth. Who's setting you free? Jesus. You know, we tend to use the Bible. We tend to use the Bible. Thank you, Ben. We tend to like take this word and start like jamming it down people's throat. But unless people know that this is Jesus, it's not going to benefit them. Unless they know the true Jesus that has given us an invitation to walk with him, to talk with him. We spoke on our series on, you know, what man can't do, God can. It was all about, one series was his presence. Are you in the presence of Jesus Christ, who holds the key to your salvation, who holds the key to your healing, who holds the key to your deliverance? And so that's very important, is that we believe, not just believe, but we trust in him. And the second thing is that he's inviting us in to his word. I know what I like about this invitation? It's not a formula. Church, it's not a formula. See, I've been, I hear people say, well, I read my Bible, I have daily devotions, I read my Bible every day at a certain time, I come to church, I serve, I do all these things. We have made freedom a legalistic works mentality of things we do. So if I don't read my Bible as many hours as you read your Bible, am I still free as you? And so we tend to make it a works mentality. But I love, if you abide or continue in my word, that if is that invitation. It's not a formula, how many times I can read, how many times am I going to worship, how long do I sing, how loud do I sing, how many verses of the song on Sunday morning when I come to church do I sing. It's an invitation to say, I'm here. I hold the key to freedom. I'm inviting you in. And I want us to get away from this. It's not a formula. Salvation is not a formula. It's by grace, Jesus, through faith. You got to get that. It'll free you. It's freed me from so many years of trying to be like everybody else that said, I read my Bible so many times. I memorize so many verses. I've done this. I've done that. Believe me. Jesus says, abide in my word. But it's not a formula how many times you do it. It's out of, I love God because he first loved me. I'm not trying to love God so he loves me. I get to love God because I know he loves me and what he's done for me. It's all based on that. So the third thing he says in that sentence, in that verse, he goes, abide or continue, whatever your translation is. And so the third thing I want to say about this is that it's a test of time. It's a test of time. And I like how Jesus, a couple times, he says, if you abide in me, in my word, you are truly my disciples. And then in verse 36, he says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Wait a minute. I thought I was already free. Now I'm free indeed? It's like, is that like, I got my ice cream cone and it's good, but no, it's really good, good? What is that? What does that really mean? And what Jesus is saying, there's a test of time. To abide means to remain, to continue, to endure, to survive. Wow. And as believers, sometimes we're surviving. Sometimes we're enduring. Sometimes we are persevering. Sometimes the enemy is coming at us and we have to stand firm and we have to persevere and we have to survive some of the battles that he comes at us with. But we know that we're victorious. And so the test of time, and that's what Jesus was saying here, will you survive? Will you continue? Will you abide? Will you endure? Will you remain? It is so important about freedom. Because when we receive Christ as our personal Savior, yes, we are set free, and you are set free. This isn't like, I hope I'm set free. I've always said this, I'm in heaven today, I'm in hell tomorrow, I'm in heaven today, I might be in between today. I say this all the time because we are free in Jesus. When we receive Christ, we are in heaven with him. It says that we are seated in our spirit realm. We are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. That's true. But Jesus is trying to say, hey, you disciples that once believed, but couldn't get to the trust part, you walked away from me. And what Jesus is saying, come on, there's going to be a test of time. And for all of us sitting here, Jesus hasn't come back yet. And I hope he didn't, because I'm still here. So he didn't come back yet. So he's telling us, church, Calvary Gospel, it's a test of time. Will you endure? Will you survive? Will you persevere? Will you abide and continue in my word? That's so important that we do this together, that we encourage each other. Freedom is a test of time. If you don't have any fruit, okay, I want you to hear this. If you don't have any fruit, then I wonder of the root of conversion. Because that's what happened to the Jews. Oh, I believe. I believe. I believe. And then Jesus starts talking to them and they go, I can't do that. And they walk away. So I wonder their root of conversion. It's so important. See, you can tell how real something is to you and I by how long you stay with it. Wow. Think about it. Young people, how long will you stay with Jesus? Will you test the time? Will you take the invitation? Will you believe to the point of trusting him in faith? But will you test the time? You know, I think that's so important as we walk with God. You can tell how real something is. How real is Jesus to you by how long you stay with Jesus? I'm staying with Jesus forever. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. Circumstances doesn't change my relationship with Jesus. You know why? This is so important. Because circumstances didn't change Jesus' relationship to you. Right? He doesn't say, oh, don't pass the time, you messed up today, so my relationship with you now is broken, and it's going to take you a while to come, you know, before I talked with you again. No, that's not my Jesus. That's not your Jesus. It's not based on how good or bad I am. He's loving us. Even when we're doing things wrong, he's chasing us down. He's chasing us down. When Jesus left the 99 and went after the one, he went after him and he was chasing him down. You know why? Because this Bible says he was lost and couldn't find his way home. So Jesus went after him. Jesus is always coming after us. He's always coming after you. Test of time. He says that remaining connected to or dwelling in him and his word is the true measure of discipleship. That's the true measure of discipleship. See, the Bible never says that Jesus came to make us Christians. He said he came to make us disciples, right? He told us to go into the world and what? Make disciples. That's followers of Jesus, discipling, discipling, discipling. And so that's what we are doing constantly. It never stops. It is what separates people who are really free from those who appear to be Jesus followers for a time. It is the path to true freedom, walking with Jesus every day. We need to walk with Jesus every day. We don't give up. We don't get discouraged. Even when the enemy comes at us and things happen in our families and our marriages and our health, our finances, our job, our children, whatever it may be, our car, our house. That's the test of time. We are going to walk with Jesus because he's our Lord and Savior. He's our Lord and Savior. He says that if you abide in me, if the invitation, will you come? Abide, stay connected, remain, continue. Will you endure with me? That's my disciples. And he says the third thing is the word. Will you abide in my word? And his word is truth, the Bible says. Here's the truth. See, we're trying to study this whole thing, and I know as a pastor, I'm studying and teaching, and we're all trying to read the Bible and understand it, but the main thing, the truth is, it's the knowledge of God as revealed in Jesus. You know, when the disciple says, hey, Jesus, show us the Father, tell us who the Father is, he says, did you see me? You've been with me how long? I represent the Father. Hebrews says he's the representation of the Father. Jesus. He's the truth. The whole truth of this word is that God represented himself through his son Jesus. And when you receive that, you receive the Father. When you receive Jesus, you receive God. When you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's the knowledge. That's the word. That's the truth. Knowing this truth is knowing God. Do you know Jesus? God made this so simple. Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, you know me. Hallelujah. That's freedom. God made present in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father. I don't care what any other religion says, what anybody tells you. Oh, man, I speak to the Father all day. Do you know Jesus? Who's Jesus? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Hallelujah. That is freedom. That's freedom. And this is the truth that will set you free. Here it is. Christ was betrayed for you. That Christ was beaten for you. That Christ died for you. That Christ was raised for you. It is a truth rooted in human history. We are crucified with Christ and we are raised to new life in him. Christ did all those things for you and I. That's the truth. That's the truth. And when you grab a hold of the truth, that's what sets us free. There is no other way to the Father. There is no other way to eternal life but through Jesus Christ. True freedom. In the cross, in the waters of baptism, in the proclamation of God's word, your Heavenly Father tells us, I love you. You are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer need to stand on your own merits and good works, your own goodness or your own efforts. I forgive you through my son. I free you from the guilt and the bondage of sin. You are mine. You are a lasting member of my household. You are my child. You are free. Wow. Man, Pastor Tom, I thought it was more complicated than that. I thought I had to do a lot more things. I thought I had to, you know, every day get through a ritual and, you know, be good. Yes, be good. We're supposed to be good. Be good. But we're not being good, so God will love us. Jesus took care of that. His love was on the cross. He stayed on the cross because he loved you. That is true freedom. Everything that Jesus did. And because of that, you no longer need to stand on, am I good enough? Jesus took it at the cross. He's forgiven you of your past, your present, and your future sins. He has freed you out of the guilt of the bondage of sin and death and has given you eternal life. Hallelujah. That has got to get you excited. It's like, man, I wanted to be free, and I thought freedom was based on how much money I had, how much education I had, you know, how many times I've been good today, how many times I read my Bible, how many times I worship God, how many times I raised my hand, how many times I came to church, how much money I give. No. True freedom is understanding who Jesus is and what he's done. That's true freedom. So this is what our application, help us. Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For freedom, he says, stand firm. That means be stationary. That means persevere, persist with Jesus. The core message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ rescued us from the slavery of sin and offers us true freedom in this life, but not just in this life, in eternity. In eternity. In eternity. He has set you and I free. As a believer in Christ, we are called to walk in total freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from shame, freedom from condemnation, which is, this is all what the enemy will try to tell you. Hey, remember what you did yesterday? You remember how you used to be? But I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. I'm a son and daughter of the Most High. Freedom to fulfill our God-given destinies. God has a plan for each one of you. Freedom to live in the joyful communion with our Heavenly Father. Wow.
That's freedom. We can have it. You do have it. But sometimes this message is going back to basics. Do you remember this, that you are free from all that? Why? Because you believe and trust God. Why? Because he invited you and you accepted it and received that invitation, and you continue to abide in the truth of his word. Not the works of you, but the truth of who he is. Accepting Jesus' death on the cross as the payment for our sin, we submit to Christ. When we submit to Christ, sin loses its power. Christ's power takes over, and we choose to trust him and follow him. Our sinful habits and thoughts and attitudes lose their control. You say, Pastor, how do I get rid of some of the thoughts that go through my mind? You know, some of the things that I tend to struggle with. And he says, abide, persevere, stand strong, stand fast, continue in my word. Are you continuing in his word? Are you being renewed daily? Are you being refreshed with the word of God? You know, when people ask me that question, I said, well, are you still reading your Bible? Yes. Do you believe what you're reading, the truth of the word? Yes. Stand firm. Stand firm. Renew your mind daily. Don't be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by your mind through what? The word of God. So all that is our attitudes. You know, Jesus comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in and starts teaching us. It says, the Bible says the Holy Spirit empowers us, teaches us, it walks with us, it sanctifies us. And you have that. Right habits become the norm. What was what you used to do before, all of a sudden, when you start abiding in Christ, abiding in his word, and understand the freedom that he has done for you, all of a sudden, right things, walking with God becomes a normal thing. God, I want, you know, Pastor Tom, I want to walk, you know, with Jesus every day. You can walk with Jesus every day. Why? If you know him as your personal Savior and trust him, then you are free from all that. And he will help you. That's what freedom is about. He will help you. That's true freedom. This is the will of God for you and I. Freedom. You know, people come up and say, what's God's will for my life, Pastor Tom? You know, there's a lot of God's will, and I just want to say, God's will is for you to be free and stay free. I'm not in freedom today, bondage tomorrow, freedom today, bondage tomorrow. We're walking in freedom as a son and daughter of the Most High. Do we struggle? Yes, we do, but we struggle in our freedom knowing that God's grace, his mercy, his forgiveness has already been done for us. That's what's exciting. That's why I get so passionate about this. It's not based on all my works. It's based on what Jesus has done. That's freedom. That's the will of God, that you stay free, that you would be free. And I want you to, Max, if you could put this quote up. If you could do it, like I say, you can take a picture of this, you can jot it down. What we must do is always based upon what God has already done. What we must do in walking out this freedom, it's always based upon what God has already done. We're not trying to make something up new. We're not trying to fix something that God broke. He's already done it through the cross, through his son. And that's the important thing that we have to understand. What we must do is always based upon what God has already done. So important to understand. That'll help you walk out your freedom. It's based on the cross. It's based on his forgiving us. It's based on him taking the punishment. It's based on he loved us before while we were still sinners. It's based on his grace. It's based on his mercy. He has given us freedom through his son. I'm going to give you two verses and we're going to end. You know, the title, Freedom to be Servants. Freedom to be Servants. 1 Peter 2:16 says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Servants of God. You are serving God in your freedom. It's the best place you can ever be, serving God. And you say, well, that's freedom. That's freedom. See, Christian freedom is not a license to sin. I'm going to say it again. Christian freedom is not a license to sin. We are free in Christ, but not free to live however we want, indulging in the flesh. We don't say, hey, well, you said, Pastor Tom, that we are free, and he's taken the sin and bondage, so now I can just know. I did not say you could do anything you want. Christ never said you could do anything you want. Christ never said to go back into sin. He took care of that. He's taken us out of that. We don't get a license, a free card to say, hey, because you haven't believed in Jesus yet, I get to do what I want. You still are in bondage. No, we don't get to do what we want. We get to do and walk with God in the freedom of knowing him, that he's taking care of that. And he's coming back for his bride, a bride that's going to be pure and white, spotless. It doesn't give us a license to sin. In the last verse, Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Here's two verses. In those two verses, it's freedom not to sin. You don't get to, you know, let the flesh take over and say, well, I'm a Christian and God's going to forgive me. He's already forgiven me. It's by his grace. No, that's not the God we serve. It's not the God we serve. We walk away from sin. So freedom is not letting that indulge in the flesh. It's we serve Christ in this freedom. We're servants of God. And the last one is we do it through loving and serving others. That's freedom. How many of us believers are serving others, are loving others? That's a part of freedom. You know, say, well, I'm free in Christ, but man, my neighbor, I just can't stand my neighbor. You know, the dog keeps barking, he keeps on parking his car on my grass, and, you know, doesn't paint his house. Thank you, Max. This is so important, this quote. What we must do is always based upon what God has already done. Hey, we need to love other people. Why? Because Jesus loves them. If we're going to walk with Jesus, then we need to do what Jesus does. We need to do what Jesus does. I always say, you know, we used to wear those bracelets and t-shirts that says, what would Jesus do? I always kind of change that up and says, what does Jesus still do? Jesus is still doing this. Because we can get caught up sometimes, oh, that was Old Testament, you know? That was a long time ago, and, you know, Jesus is in heaven now, so what does he do? No. Jesus is still doing it today. He's still loving the world. And as believers, we need to love the world. We need to walk away from sin. We need to walk away from the flesh. We need to serve God in our freedom. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're going to start this series, and we're going to talk about what it is to be free in other areas of our life. But this is really the basics. If you can grab a hold of this, believe, not just believe, but trust in him fully. He invites us. He invites us. Have you accepted the call? And then, do you abide? Stand firm, continue to walk, don't give up, stand fast. In what? The truth. Not something you make up, not something that your neighbor made up, not something of a new religion that came out and is glorifying something else other than Jesus. Do you abide in the truth that what we must do is already based on what God has already done? That's the truth. It's simple. Jesus did not make this complicated. When people say, well, I can't read the Bible. Okay, well then read some of the parts that you do understand. That he has come, his will is for you and I to be free. And if his will is for you and I to be free, he can't make it that complicated and that hard for us to have to be so mixed up and confused. And today we talked about it. It's simple. Is he your Lord and Savior? If he's not, you're not in freedom. Bible says it, not me. But you will be in freedom once you know Jesus as your personal Savior. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting that we can walk in freedom? That we don't have to be in bondage anymore. That Jesus has already taken care of it. It's not something new that's going to happen. It's already been done for you and I. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just take some time and pray before we leave. Hallelujah, Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that the work has already been done. Lord, nothing new is coming. Nothing new is happening. Nothing is changing. You're a God that never changes. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, that you would never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Lord, we love you, God. If there's anyone here today that it doesn't know you as their personal Savior and say, Pastor Tom, wow, I never knew that I could be free, but freedom was based on Jesus and Jesus alone, and I never really accepted that. I believed what I was taught for years, but I never trusted it. If that is you today, we want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. And just raise your hand and we'll pray. Just raise your hand and say, Lord, Pastor Tom, that's me. That's me. I need to trust God. I need to understand that He is my Lord and Savior. I believe, but I never made Him Lord of my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. And we're going to pray. I'm not going to embarrass you, but we're going to pray. We're going to pray for you. And it's a simple prayer. We're going to pray it anyways, for even if no one raised their hand. Lord, I receive you today. You can say this right at your seat if you haven't. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you, Lord God, for dying on that cross. Thank you that you have already taken the punishment of sin and death, and you've taken that so that I could live free in you. Thank you, Lord, that you went into that tomb, but you didn't stay in that tomb. Thank you, Lord, that you ascended into heaven. You were resurrected, and you are alive. Thank you, Lord, that you're coming back for us. Hallelujah. Your church, you're coming back for me. You're coming back for us. And in that, the Holy Spirit now resides in you, the Bible says, for you to walk this out in freedom. If you said that prayer and you said, Lord, you are my Lord and Savior. I never had you as my Lord and Savior. I didn't know that that's what freedom is. You just received Christ in your life today. And the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over one who receives you. The angels are rejoicing right now. Right now. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it and walk in it. Hallelujah. If you're visiting, get into a church that's preaching the Word of God, that's teaching you Jesus. Get planted. If you're not in a church, you're more than welcome to come to this church. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for the Calvary Gospel. Hallelujah. We thank you for everyone who's here. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true, your word is pure, your word is holy. But most of all, Lord, you've made it easy for us to understand what freedom is now in you. And so, Lord, I thank you for the ones that have made that decision today. And Lord, we just ask you to bring blessing upon them. Give them favor and continue to speak to them through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning.